Welcome to the Kinky Cast, a sexually explicit podcast for adults. You are listening to a weekly publication, produced every Friday morning. The Kinky Cast is heard in over 150 countries. This is our weekly exploration in the kinky world of BDSM and alternative relationships. Today, we present episode 317, Torch, the Witch. Don't forget to stop by our webpage for information about this show and others. KinkyCast.com. Here's your host, Woody.
Thanks, Max. Welcome to another edition of the Kinky Cast. Today we've reached way out to the far west coast of Canada, the Sunshine Coast of Canada, which is way out across from Vancouver.
You have to take a ferry to get to Vancouver from the Sunshine Coast.
Okay.
We're attached to it, but you can only get there by logging road. Somewhere.
On the show with me tonight is Torch the Witch, and she is going to give us a little bewitchiness, which is something new and interesting for the cast. You have been on FetLife for how many years now?
2 years and 2 months.
Okay, so you're kind of a relatively new person into the FetLife world. But you've had this interest in kinkiness for some time, and you've been trying to figure out how to do it.
Correct.
Okay.
Definitely, yeah.
You have figured it out. I have done some research on your site, and your writings are wonderful, and I've certainly enjoyed the stories that you bring. I come
Thank
back
you.
To say, so what is a witch? In a modern day, here in 2020, what is a witch?
Well, that is such a great question. See, I don't really identify as a Wiccan anymore, which I did when I was younger, when I first became a witch. But in my opinion, which really doesn't amount to a hill of beans, but in my opinion, a witch is somebody who understands that they can work with and manipulate energy. And that's their own energy, energy from the world, energy from other people, and use it to their advantage and to the advantage of others. And just recognizes that they are a part of a greater whole and that everything's connected, that things can be amplified if you focus on them. Yeah, it's quite vague, isn't it? I know quite a few women who identify as witches, and they're all very different people. But there is usually a strong sexual component, in my opinion, also. But yeah, it's to me, I guess it's all about energy and understanding that you're part of it and that you can use it also.
You're quite an accomplished woman. You teach public speaking. You're a very strong presence. You go out and you can convince people of things.
I can. I'm a really good persuader.
So you are witching people into different ways of thinking.
I kind of am, yes. The more charming you are, the more witchiness you can do.
Well, it's a wonderful thing to get out and express yourself and get people to express themselves. You know, it's a nice thing. How does your witchiness and sexuality play together? Is it a sex magic thing or is it something developing? What?
That is such a good question. I am still relatively new at actually practicing sex magic. I can say in all honesty that my first very deliberate practice wasn't until last October. I had done some before that, but almost off the cuff kind of thing. But sex is such a powerful thing. It's the most powerful thing, really. We make other humans with it. We alter our entire lives for it. We shift our work schedules so we can meet somebody new, and we dress more sexy so that we can impress people, and it's a very powerful thing. And so when you know that you can harness that energy to direct it to something, it's quite remarkable. It really is. So being a witch to me does mean being a sexual person, because sexuality is just part of who we are. So it's just encompassing all of who you are.
in looking at some of the pictures that you have on FetLife, you certainly have a sexuality about you. You have a powerful presence. And the way you dress, I could say it is seductive, but it is also putting your power out there.
I would agree, yeah. The things that I choose to wear are very deliberate. I live in a rural area of British Columbia, and everyone here wears gumboots and flannels and wool hats. And I go out with my Calvin Klein. Yeah, no, exactly what you're wearing.
Yeah,
exactly.
I'm wearing the Woody the Woodsman plaid shirt tonight, so.
Yes, the classic red and black lumberjack shirt.
That's right.
Yes. And I, go out in my Calvin Klein boots and dresses, jewelry, because I love it, because it makes me feel beautiful and fun. And people stop me in the streets and say, you look like you're going to a party, you know, and they take delight in it. And I take delight in it, too. And I didn't do that for a very, very long time. So I really enjoy very dramatic choices of dress that people can enjoy, that I can enjoy, and that have a sexuality to them and something that you'll remember.
One of the things that I respect about you is you are a very sexy woman. You're a very powerful woman. And you're also a woman that's over 50 years old.
Yeah, I'm 51.
And the presence that you project is so ageless and so powerful. That is the amazing thing. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you, is you have spanned several lifetimes in expressing who you are. When you started out years ago, you were a stripper.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's right.
Lots of evolution here.
For sure. I'm also a comedian, and this is one of the jokes that I like to use. I started stripping when I was 18. I became a Jesus freak at 34. And I got into kinky sex at 49. So basically my life is a Jesus sandwich on slut bread.
Okay, and you get big laughs for that.
Normally, yes.
Yes, oh
Normally
my God.
I do. Yeah, yeah. The way I've dressed, the way I've presented myself, the way I've been in the world has been very, very different throughout my life, for sure.
One of the things that I'm going to include in the show is the public service announcement that you did on FetLife.
Okay.
Which is an absolute scream. And so we'll drop that in right here.
Hi, I'm Torch the Witch for Pets, people for the ethical treatment of sluts. Do you wish you had a slut in your life? Well, now, for only pennies a day, the cost of a shot of Zambuca, you can sponsor a deserving slut in your neighborhood. Whether she's a hoe, a thought, or a woman in Saudi Arabia who just wants to drive her fucking car, your gift can change lives. For only $10 a month, your slut can have a safe place to give head. And for $30 a month, your slut can fuck anyone, anytime, any place without any of that pesky rape or stoning. Call 1-800-YOU-SLUT. Side effects include health, happiness, safety, sexual autonomy, lack of shame and fear, and multiple orgasms. Call now, because I might be a slut, but I'm a philanthropic slut.
So what brought you to do this public service announcement?
That was actually a bit I did for my comedy act. It was when I was in comedy class about a year ago. I don't know where the idea came from, but I was thinking of PETA, right? People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
Right.
And then somebody in my class said, oh, how about People for the Ethical Treatment of Sluts? And I just died laughing. And I was like, oh my God, I have to do something with that. And, you know, I pictured the Sarah McLachlan music in the background and the whole bit. And I just, you know, I liked it because I've carried the word slut around with me for a very long time, to my detriment for most of my life. But after coming to FetLife, I claimed it as my own. And to me, it's a very beautiful and powerful word, and it's a fun word. And I just wanted to play with it a little bit and make people think about how stupid it is that we have these expectations of female sexuality that are not helpful to women or men. And I just wanted to kind of poke fun at that a little bit and have a good time with it.
And the way you did it is kind of interesting, because you pointed at some societies that are very locked down in their male-bound sexualities.
Yes.
Which is, you know, some people, and you know, I don't want to be judgmental here, but it's really fucked up.
It is. It is. I talk a little bit about Saudi Arabia, a woman just wanting to drive her fucking car, right? Over there, basically, if you're a woman who asserts her individuality, you are a slut. You are a bad girl. You have not followed the rules, and you are due for a rock facial and a hole in the ground.
Yeah. Yeah. Sad, but true.
Yeah, that word has been used as a weapon against women to make them go back into the boxes that, you know, society wants them to be in, which is a very boring and very small box with very few choices. And I refuse to let people box me in. I want all women and men, but especially women, to be able to embrace their sexuality and be who they are without shame. It's really, that's everything to me, is just to be able to be all of who you are without being ostracized or eliminated from the planet. It's kind of a crazy thing that wanting to fuck somebody can get you killed.
Well, keep in mind that when you said society, you meant male society.
We all live in it, right? In patriarchy. And I know some people don't like that word and they don't like to think that it exists. But patriarchy doesn't mean men. It means a system that was designed by a few powerful men to keep the status quo. And most men suffer from it also. They're not allowed to show emotions other than anger or happiness. They're not allowed to be all of who they are also. We all suffer under it. And I think the more that we talk about the truth of who we are as full human beings, the more free we will all be, the more happy we'll all be, and the more sex we can have, too.
Well, you know, how could I argue with something like that?
Totally. I just want us all to get laid more and better.
Bigger, better, faster, more slower sex.
Yeah, all of it. Yeah. All of it.
Regaining control of your sex drives and all this thing as a second act in your life, a lot of us have done that. I certainly have been through sexless marriages and things like that. And when you find that you have freedoms, it changes you so deeply. And the ability to bring myself back to, you know, have natural orgasms again, and to share with another person. It is an absolute beautiful thing.
Wow. It is a joy. It's a joy I was in a sexless marriage for about 15 years and to quite an attractive man too. It was devastating to me that he wasn't that interested in sex, and it really did a number on my self-esteem too, especially after being a stripper for 15 years. But I find that this is the case with many, many people. I'm seeing it more with women, maybe only because I'm connected with more women, but I hear from a lot of women messaging me and talking to me about their sex lives, both here on FetLife and in my inbox on Facebook too, because people are less inclined to be public about it, but everybody wants to know about it. Everybody wants to know how can they bring sex back into their lives. And I find that once you hit a certain age, you kind of don't give a fuck anymore. And that is the greatest gift. It really is. It's knowing that you've only got a certain amount of time on the planet. And what are you going to do? You're going to worry about what everybody else thinks? Or are you going to live your life and have the sex that you want and meet the people that you want and do the things that you want?
Well, a lot of people, as they get into their later 40s, you know, their kids have grown up and moved off to school or whatever it is, and they have a freedom. The emptiness sets in a little bit to where they can do this.
That is a huge part of it. I'm not an empty nester yet. I've still got a 13-year-old, so we've still got a long way to go. But my daughter and I have always had a really good connection, and she knows that mommy is kinky. She knows that mommy is on Fet Life. I mean, I don't show her my stuff, but she knows that this is an important part of my life. And I want her to feel that she has the freedom to investigate her sexuality as she gets older. I don't want her to have to wait until she's in her 40s. I don't want anybody to have to wait until they're in their 40s. That's horrific. We can do better. But the fact of the matter is that the generation that I'm a part of, we were the first women who were introduced to a degree of freedom that nobody else had been before us. We were like the first kids after women's lib, and our moms were like, go girls, check it all out. And we were like, yeah. And then we got out there and everybody still had all these fucking roadblocks up. So it wasn't what it could have been. So, you know, we got married, we had kids, the kids grew up. And at some point you're like, is this all there is? There must be more. And that's what's happening with so many people of my generation now. It's that they've discovered this freedom. They've put in the time with the kids, and now it's time for them. And it's super exciting. I almost see it as a wave of energy happening across the world that can't be denied, and that is going to be very, very powerful in so many ways.
So you have the people of your generation, and then we have the new generation, the 20-year-olds, mm-hmm. that are taking control of their sexuality at a much earlier age. And
oh, it's so exciting.
It is, and we've had some on the show here recently, and they are absolutely laying out and say, you know, we aren't going to wait for anything. We're going to do what we want, and we're going to do it right now.
Yes.
So it is a huge movement.
Yes, it is. I'm super excited for young people. There's so many that I see on Fet Life who they are not compromising. They're going to be who they are, and they know that. Now, they don't have kids yet, a lot of them, so they've got this freedom, and I think that there could be a big enough critical mass of them that people will stop being so judgmental, or at least a little less judgmental, and let them just be who they are. I mean, being a sexual person doesn't make you a bad person. Oh my God, it's so crazy that we're still having to deal with this stuff, but I love that young people are just doing what they want to do. It's, to me, I have just a little tad of jealousy, but I'm mostly thrilled to fucking death for them. I really am.
I want to go back and live it again because I screwed it up the first time. So
I hear you, babe. Mm. I fucking hear you.
Yeah. So let's talk about a couple things here. So we decided that as a witch, you're imprinting your freedoms on other people, and you're a bit of a Pied Piper bringing them along, answering Facebook letters and saying, you know, here's how it is. What a great thing that is. And you're becoming
wonderful.
A role model. You're a role model to your daughter. You're a role model to these other people that are following you. You're using your witchiness to bring them along.
It's quite something. It's a joy. It really is. And all I'm really doing is living the way I've always wanted to live. And I feel so honored, genuinely humbled and honored every time a woman comes to me and says, thank you for being brave enough to speak your truth, because it has given me the courage to do the same. And wow, oh my God, I couldn't ask for anything more. I couldn't.
It's the most exciting thing I've ever been a part of. It really is. And I've done some pretty crazy wild shit in my life, but this is some of the best. It really is.
What a great way to live out your days. So
it's fantastic.
Let's revisit. Where did Torch the Witch come from?
Torch the Witch came from me and my best friend, Kevin, who was 15 years old with me. And he was a young gay man who was still in the closet, but we all knew he was gay. And he was a great friend. And he just started calling me Torch because of my hair, probably, and my attitude. And I always loved that. I always loved that name. I loved the implications of it. I loved what it meant and what it felt like. And when the internet came along, that's actually the name that I used, Torch the Witch, back in like 97, 98. And then I became a Jesus person for, you know, a good 12, 15 years. When I decided to become myself again, I reclaimed Torch the Witch because I always saw her as this woman who was not afraid of anything and who loved with all of her fire and was there to light the way for people or to burn up for people, to be set on fire for people. Whatever she could do, that's what she was there for. And Torch the Witch is very much a part of me, and I love her dearly. I do.
It's a pretty wonderful person, the one that I've met so far. And we're trying to dig down into the things that make you tick.
Okay.
Earlier in the cast, we talked a little bit about sex magic. A lot of people don't know what that really means. How do you see it?
I want to preface this with I haven't done a great deal of sex magic. I'm quite new at it. I've only been deliberate with it on two occasions, on two major occasions. I've been deliberate with it quite a few times on smaller occasions on, oh, I need to remember this kind of occasion. But to me, what sex magic is, so sex is a super powerful thing. It's the most powerful thing on the planet. It makes new humans. It draws people together. It's even used as a very competent weapon. It is the most powerful thing that's out there. So when we as human beings are very deliberate about coming together in our sexual practices with each other, we can really harness that energy to create new realities. So for me, what I do is I'm very deliberate and intentional with my partner, and we talk about things before we do anything. And it doesn't mean that your sex is going to be scripted. It can be if you like it to be, but it doesn't have to be at all. It can be whatever it turns into. But what is most important is your intention and talking about it with your partner or partners beforehand. And at the moment of orgasm, that is kind of the time of the most power. And some people may dispute that, and I may dispute that, actually. But that's what a lot of us are looking for, is the big bang, right? And that is where a lot of energy is happening. And that is when you put your intention out into the universe is the time just before and during orgasm, because it's super powerful. And incidentally, has anybody ever tried thinking of anything at all while they're coming? Really fucking hard.
Yeah,
right?
I was just thinking
really
about that.
Fucking hard.
I'm going, you know, when that's happening to me, it's like a tunnel has come around me and I can't deal with anything. And so the thought
exactly.
of putting my energy
exactly.
out there is woo.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's not even easy. You've got to remember, because you could be in the moment, you're like just about to come. You're not thinking about anything except for, oh my God, I'm about to come. So it does take practice for sure, but that's when you want to experience your orgasm and then throw that desire or thought out into the universe while you're doing that and wait for the results.
And they come back around and get you.
Yeah, yeah. And if there's more than one person working towards the same thing, even more powerful, exponentially more powerful. And whether you believe in any of this shit actually is irrelevant, because it's about the mind, right? And if you are focusing on something so much that you are actually focusing on it at the moment of orgasm, this is very important to you. So your brain is going to remember this. This is going to become a very important thing to you. You're going to put more energy into it, period. So I don't know. I'm a science person. I'm just not very good at science. But yeah, it's all about what you're thinking about, what you're feeling, and what is important to you, who you are, what's important to you, and putting it out into the universe.
That is great advice for us to give a whirl to the next time we're going to have an orgasm. One of the things that you had told me earlier is that you identify pretty much as a primal bottom.
Yes.
And so getting primal at that moment of orgasm, the earth starts to shudder a little bit.
Yeah, being primal and trying to do sex magic, you really have to bring yourself back to your intention. And that might not be easy, because being primal means you have kind of let go of your brain and you are just, you're an animal. You are the most base that you are. And I think that's probably part of what makes it so powerful too, is that you've got to go to the place where your brain's still working.
Well, that's right down here over the spine in this case.
Yeah.
The primal brain.
Yeah, it's exciting. It's exciting as fuck. It really is.
That's fun, certainly fun stuff, and very fulfilling.
Mm-hmm. Can I tell you a little bit about more deliberate magic though?
Absolutely.
Excellent. I wrote a piece on FetLife called "Sexual Healing: A Samhain Ritual," and this is the first very, very deliberate piece of sex magic that I ever participated in, and it's with my current lover who is on FetLife. His name's Fab68. And we're about 6 months into our relationship, and he is quite an extraordinary man in that he is really doing a lot of work to connect with his own spirituality, his own desires also, and we're being very deliberate about our communication with each other. So I had told him that I have never orgasmed with a man through his efforts alone. I've always had to do it myself. And I would really love for a man to be able to make me come. I think that would be fucking amazing. And we talked about this a lot, and this has become a goal in our work together. And he came to me one day in my home and he said, I'm going to do something for you. And he came over and he had planned this amazing thing out. He came over and asked me to undress. And I was naked for the ritual. He sat me down at my kitchen table and he put down three pieces of paper. One of them said release. Another one said receive. And the other one was blank. And he said, I want you to write down everything that you would like to release regarding your sexuality. And then I would like you to write down everything that you would like to receive regarding your sexuality. And then on the last piece of paper, I want you to write three words that are the things that you want from this weekend. And while I wrote those things down, he went upstairs to my bedroom to prepare the space. And boy, did he prepare the space. And I sat down in the nude at my kitchen table and I thought about all the things that I wanted to get rid of. I thought about all the things that I wanted to receive. And I wrote them down. And then he came back down and he put a not a cloak, but I guess this plain white zipped up cloak on top of me. And he said, I want you to write on this all the words that other people have put on you that you don't want. And I covered that fucking cloak. I covered it with, you know, black Sharpie of all the words like slut and whore and, you know, menace to society or all of those things that people think and say that sexual women are. And we went up to my bedroom. He blindfolded me. He tied my hands behind my back. He asked me, do you trust me? And I said, yes, I do, because I did. And he took me upstairs and we came into my bedroom and he had lit incense. He had lit candles. He had a big drop sheet on the floor because it was going to get messy.
Okay.
And yeah, it was good. Well, at first we burned those papers. Then we came upstairs. He took the cloak off of me, ripped it off of me, actually tore it off my body. He said, these are not your words. You get to choose your words. The words that you choose for yourself are the only ones that matter. These are garbage unless you choose them for yourself. We knelt down on this drop sheet and he had a pomegranate in his hand, which he said, do you know what this is? And I said, yes, it's a pomegranate. Do you know what this represents? And I said, yes, well, that's what Persephone ate when she went down to Hades. She ate 3 pomegranate seeds and that's what nourished her while she took care of everybody down there. And he was like, oh, you're such a show off. No, it's just about each one of these seeds represents a different part of your sexuality. And he told me he was initially going to make me fight for the fruit. And then God bless his intuition. He realized that I needed to be fed. I needed to be fed because I have very, very rarely been fed, as have most women, I think, and even most men, actually. So he ripped open that pomegranate and he held it in his hands while I stuffed my face in it and ate those seeds ravenously, like I was fucking starving. And he put it down and I was like, nope, I need more. I ate the whole fucking thing. And then he smeared the juice all over my body and he smeared the juice all over his body. And he took the ashes from the fire and he smeared it all over my body and all over his body. And the thing was like, and there was so much more to it too. And then we had sex and it was very deliberate and it was not about making Torch come. It was about Torch experiencing pleasure for the sake of pleasure and nothing else, perhaps for the first time in my life. Something that most women never experience. Pleasure for the sake of pleasure, non-performative pleasure, just lying back and receiving. What a fucking gift, my friend. What a fucking gift. This ritual went on for 2 to 3 hours. And that was kind of like the initial supernova for me. And from there, we are just doing a lot of talking to each other about what it is that each of us needs and being very deliberate. And sometimes not. Sometimes we just get together and fuck like animals, right?
Yeah, whatever works. Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes, though, we're very deliberate in nurturing the needs of each other. Like when we were first together, he didn't know how primal he was. And I think our rituals has really freed him to become like a fucking animal, like he has never known that he could be before. And to me, that is so exciting. And it also makes our sex really good. There's just so much because it all comes up very fluidly. And the things that are important to you, you remember, you talk to each other about it, and you're like, let's work on this next time. And it's an ongoing journey. It's ongoing. The last time we did deliberate sex magic, he just rubbed my clitoris for like an hour and 15 minutes. It was in fucking incredible. It was in fucking incredible. It was amazing.
A roller coaster ride.
I've never experienced. Oh my God, it was so good. It was just like, I'm lying there and I just get to experience this pleasure and tell him what I like, what I don't like. I know so many women are still so anxious to tell men what they like because they're so afraid that they're going to be rejected or like, oh, that's too much work. Oh, you're boring me. But a good man wants to get in there, babe. A good man wants to fucking make you happy and make you come. And a good woman wants to do that for a good man too, man. Like it's caring about your partner. And you don't have to be like boyfriend and girlfriend or married. You just have to care about the other person as a human being, recognize their needs and say, I would like to help you with this. And then be deliberate about it and go ahead and do it.
And that is your second public service announcement of the night. Absolutely. People, if you do what Torch just said, I guarantee a very happy time will be had.
Yeah. Oh, my God. We could change the whole world if people were really listening to each other and really wanting to please each other and take good care of each other, even in the one-night stands. There's no reason that people can't go super fucking deep with each other and just recognize each other as human beings with needs and wants and desires that are fantastically and perfectly normal, whether they are or not.
Well, normal is a odd word, but
it is. It is. It's bullshit.
The one thing I want to emphasize on what you just said, it is give and take. And whether you're going to do it in you're receiving in one session and the next session you're giving, it really doesn't matter if it's both directions in one sitting or just one day and one the other. It is the power exchange. And this is the thing that I have said so many times is people have to let the power flow in both directions so that there's a balance in the universe.
So true. So true. Yes. Yes. It's just a recognition of that energy and the energy that comes from your partner and the energy that you have also, because we all have it, right? Every single person on this planet has it and is a valuable human being and has something to contribute, whether they're an asshole or not. Everybody doesn't have to be an asshole. They can figure out how to not be an asshole.
Absolutely. Well, it's de-assholization.
Yes, I like that.
Torch, it has been absolutely amazing tonight, and some of the advice that you gave is so important. People just listen and learn from the experiences that this wonderful woman has had. I really can't say enough about what you are.
Oh, thank you. That's so sweet. Thank you.
I want you to come back later in the year and we're going to talk about more things and the lovely roller coaster ride of sexuality.
That would be wonderful. I'd love that.
All right. And at this point, I'm going to say goodnight and thank you for being on the show.
Oh, thank you for having me. It was an absolute delight, really.
You have been listening to episode 317 of the Kinky Cast. For more information about this show, go to kinkycast.com. Views expressed are not representative of the management of the Kinky Cast. We welcome guests with opposing viewpoints. The Kinky Cast is a production of Rooster in the Round. On behalf of all our kinky crew, I'm Max. Join us next week when we present Selena Minx. Edging Older Men.